Welcome to Bring On the Mess, a show where we have real conversations about life's messiness and the ways that we can show up and uncover our true selves. I'm Beth Ann Dorman, the CEO at For All Seasons.
And I'm Lisa Lee, the Chief Clinical Officer here at For All Seasons.
And we have just had a great couple of podcasts bringing in a guest speaker the last time that we were with you, and we've talked about some really important summer transition things. It is summer. And so one of the things that we also want to talk about in this sort of start of the summer season is June was a really important month for several reasons. It was end of school, and there's so much happening with us and families, but it also was Pride Month. And Pride Month is a way that we can really focus in on our LGBTQ plus community and make sure that we are addressing the needs of all of our community members. And so we are super excited that we have Tina Jones, who is our Chief Financial Officer at For All Seasons, with us today. And we're just going to really dive into some questions about what maybe people are thinking through and not understanding, and also talking about the mental health needs of the LGBTQ plus community. So, with that, welcome. And you don't just have the title of CFO at For All Seasons. We're lucky enough to call you that. But you also have other titles in the community as it relates to the LGBTQ plus community. And so I want you to share that. But I also think it's important for us because some people may be saying, I don't know what LGBTQ plus stands for. And welcome to Tina. And let's just start there. Give us a little bit about the work that you do in our community. And then let's dive into what does that acronym really mean?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here today. Again, I'm Tina Jones. As Beth Ann said, I am the CFO at For All Seasons. But I am also the founder of Del Mar Gender Expression Movement, which I started 4 years ago, which is a support group for folks in our community that identify as non-binary or transgender or are questioning just who they are right now as far as their identity or expression. I also am the co-founder of Del Mar Pride Center, which most people know us through our Pride Festival that we've done for the last 2 summers down in Easton. But also, we do monthly activities throughout the community. So for folks who are LGBTQ, we're a resource for both support through groups like Del Mar Gender Expression Movement, or GEM as we call it, mm-hmm. or for just getting together and having a place where we can all be safe and enjoy one another's company.
Yeah. And I have had such a pleasure getting to know the folks at Del Mar Pride, and we have worked with you to really be able to talk about some of the mental health issues. And so let's dive right in. LGBTQ plus.
What does it mean?
It is not a sandwich, as some people say. Yes. Tell us a little bit about what all of those letters mean and why it's important that we understand that acronym.
Of course. So first of all, let's think about it in a very simple way. PQ plus are people who don't identify either as heterosexual, meaning they like people of the other gender, or that they don't identify as the gender that they were assigned at birth. And it's important to use that terminology, assigned at birth, because there's such a difference here between sex and gender. Mm-hmm. LGBTQ, the L is lesbian. The G is gay, B is bisexual. I think folks understand those terms mm-hmm. mostly. Transgender, again, are folks who identify other than how they were assigned at birth. And then queer is, or questioning, is the Q. And that is, again, anybody who's different than what society has categorized as the majority of folks. I'm very careful not to use the term normal, mm-hmm. Because we're not normal. And then the plus includes other folks that are out there who may, for example, be intersex or consider themselves asexual, agender, and those terms mean that they don't really have an interest in sex or they don't identify specifically as one gender or another. So that's kind of the basics of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot for people to take in, especially for those of you who may not be as connected to the LGBT community. It's a lot to process and a lot to sort of take in. But I think what we've seen is that there's a lot more conversation in the community. There is a lot more outward identity that we are seeing, especially within our youth population. And can we talk a little bit about, is there a larger group that is identifying within the LGBT plus Q plus community, or is it that people are simply feeling like they have moved the margin a teeny bit so that we're able to have conversations?
I think people, particularly younger folks, are feeling that they are more comfortable being who they are. Mm-hmm. I go back to the Gallup organization, who does an annual poll of the number of LGBTQ folks in this country. And what they have found in the last couple of years is it was historically thought that there was probably 4 to 5% of the population that identified as LGBTQ. The headlines that everybody sees now is that it's actually over 7%, and that's been pretty consistent. But the real telling information to me is when they actually look at it by age group. And folks who are older like me, about 2%, 1 out of 50 folks, acknowledge that they are LGBTQ. If we look at those that are 18 to 23, they are consistently finding that 1 in 5 identify as queer. And again, it's not that people are changing, it's that acceptance is becoming much greater. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, as somebody who's an elder, as a term we'll use.
We'll just call you seasoned.
I grew up at a time, having grown up on the shore, where we didn't talk about these kind of things, and it was, and if somebody did identify as gay or lesbian, there was a lot of pushback to it, and so we were very closeted. And mm-hmm. I think the good news is that a lot of folks now are becoming more accepting. Mm-hmm. We got a long way to go, but they're mm-hmm. becoming more accepting, and I think that's why we're seeing this growth. It's not that there's more queer people or that there's anything like that going on. We're just feeling safer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would also say one of the things that we try really hard to do when we have these conversations is we try to make sure that our listening community understands the lens that we come from. So Lisa and I are coming to this as heterosexual white women who have privilege to be able to lead a company. And so from this conversation, I want to be really clear for everyone that we're not expecting that you are speaking on behalf of the entire community, but you're going to share your expertise and maybe some of your own personal experience, but the larger capacity is simply our goal here is to really help to bring education to this conversation and to make it the beauty of having you here with us today is that we're going to ask some questions that maybe people have, but they're not feeling like they know how to ask the question, or maybe they don't want to ask the question because they think it's a stupid question. So the beauty of today is that we get to really dive into some, maybe, I don't know if they're misnomers or if it's some of the questions that we're not sure how to approach, mm-hmm. but trying to be able to say it's okay to ask questions and be curious about the community.
Well, and one of the things that I think about, I have two young boys, and this is common talk amongst middle school or in late elementary, maybe even early elementary, I'm not sure because my boys are a little bit older. And the thing that I always think about is I want to give them information because I also want to teach them what's appropriate. Don't throw terms around pejoratively or here's what this means. And so, yes, sometimes it's hard conversations because maybe we don't want to offend somebody, but I really appreciate, Bethann, what you say, which is we want to get information out there so that people can, if they're not having conversations, begin to have conversations. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want my kids learning from YouTube or their little friends who don't have the right information. So for me, that feels really important.
And I think that's a really important piece because if we are not having these conversations with our children, if we are not having these conversations in our social groups and with our friends, or even being able to sort of be curious with others who may not be aligned with how we think, our kids will turn to someone else and take, mm-hmm. if it's on YouTube, it happened with our middle schoolers. Right. No, Mom, it was on the internet, so it must be real. And so that is an important piece that this conversation helps to bring light to a different angle that we might not find on the internet. So one of the things that I'm just going to toss out a couple of things. So we are seeing with our youth, especially, a high level of mental health symptoms associated with youth that identify in the LGBTQ plus community. Can you speak a little bit about what's happening within our young people sector, and then also talk with us about how that varies in the adult community?
Yeah, so I think it's a lot of the same things that are happening across our nation and our local communities. First of all, this has become a national topic, LGBTQ youth specific. We have, in this country, this year, since January, had almost 600 anti-LGBTQ laws introduced across the country. And Maryland has not been immune from them. We've had them here, too, even though we are considered a very progressive state. And that impacts folks. And there's a lot of talk around it. We've had Supreme Court decisions, particularly here recently, that look at issues like bodily autonomy, Roe versus Wade, that look at rollbacks of things like affirmative action, that all impact our community. And for our kids who are grappling now with their own identity, I mean, think about any teenager. They're trying to figure themselves out. They're trying to figure themselves out. They've got their insecurities. And then you have this whole large rhetoric out there that says, you don't belong. This is wrong. I mean, what does it say when a leader sits there and says, this is wrong? I mean, it's the message it's sending. It becomes very personalized. And I think that's so much of this. And again, we know our youth are not prepared to have a fuller understanding or delve into it more to say, well, maybe that's not right. But they're going to be, as you just said, they see it on the internet, it must be true. And I think that's such a part of it where adults can rationalize some of that and filter some of that. But I'm going to tell you, it's not exclusive to teens. I suffered the same thing. I'm a suicide survivor from age 40 because I had the same concerns about myself. All right. I know folks who are literally in their 70s who are struggling and will not come out and be their more authentic selves. I see the pain they go through begin because of this fear of not being accepted, that you're going to lose everything, and nobody wants to be alone.
What it makes me think of is we're hardwired for connection. And I'm making a broad assumption here, so let me just say that very clearly, that if there is a sense of shame that comes along with who I am, because developmentally, when we talk about teens or those preteens, it's all about, like, where do I belong and how do I fit in? And it's hard enough. And then if we're getting these other messages that you really don't belong, then it induces potentially that shame, which is going to cause us to remain secret and silent and then feel judged or experience our own judgment, which just increases the shame.
Which then leads to mental health symptoms, and if you have to close yourself off to a community which you could find support because you think you will be judged. I love the way that you frame that, because I'm even thinking about the normal day-to-day life that we all go through. Every single task, we can run into someone who judges us in the grocery store, in work. There's a million places where we can feel judged. And so really being able to dig deep and say, it's okay that I am who I am, is an important piece. So that leads me to a question, because I think where we sometimes find ourselves is in a place of people saying, I just don't get it. Is this a phase? If a middle schooler is identifying as transgender, is this a phase, or is this, how do you respond to that? Because I think that's a that's a question that comes to me all the time.
Me too.
And I'm not an expert, but I certainly have done a lot of work in and around the community. But what's your answer to that?
I can speak to this from my personal experience. I knew when I was 7 or 8 years old that I was different. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew I was different. And I know when I was 12 or 13 that I was in the wrong body, because I would have dreams of waking up as a girl. And it's pervasive in who I am. It's innate in who I am. Mm-hmm. And what folks need to do, what parents, what friends need to do is to be open and accepting of the individual where they are now. Mm-hmm. That's what's so important. We all go through a journey as we go through our life. I have watched my life evolve, not just from when I was a small child to a teen to a young adult, but it continues. Mm-hmm. And so a big part of what we have to do is find room in ourselves to be accepting of others, because that's really what all of us want, mm-hmm. is we want acceptance. I'm not asking you to understand why I am who I am. I don't have the scientific basis for why I am the way I am. I just know that I am, just mm-hmm. like none of us have the scientific basis for why we are who we are. Right. It's just innate in who we are. You know, and I look at it this way. I think diversity of people, diversity of characteristics is a wonderful thing that makes this world just so much more of a better place to be in. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of it becomes just learning to accept and learning about who people are first before making that judgment based on any single characteristic. Mm-hmm. We as human beings have had a hard time throughout our history of wanting to categorize people based on single characteristics. Mm-hmm. And it's not a pretty history. Right. So we just need to step back, take a moment, think about ourselves, and think about, I use an analogy a lot with folks. Would you do this to somebody who was a different religion? Would you have the same kind of thought or feelings about somebody who was a different race, had a different skin color? It's, again, these are all attributes that make us a person, but no single one of them defines the whole of us. I think that's what's so important. And I just think it's important, particularly for parents of kids, because I see this so much, just to be loving and accepting of your child. There's been plenty of studies done on this. If children have one parent, at least one parent who's accepting, their risk of suicide drops tenfold. Mm. Tenfold. Mm-hmm. That's how important the acceptance and the love is.
When one of the things, thank you for saying that. So a couple little nuggets that I think you said, which is sit back, hear what this person, whether it's a kid or an adult, is saying, get to know that person and their experience. And I have the privilege of working with families, and sometimes they don't know what to say, but they're very accepting. They're like, I just know that I want to love my child and accept them, which seems really important. And what people can't see, Tina, which is so sweet, is every time you talk about like loving, accepting, you just bring your hands into your heart, and which is such a beautiful gesture. And so there's something about bringing in, it's not necessarily you have to have the right words and know how to say it at that moment, but it's kind of rumbling through, as we would say, some of the hard conversations, saying, I'm here with you in it, feels kind of important, right?
Well, it's very important. I've done a lot with kids for the last several years, particularly with the gender support group that we have here at Easton that meets once a month, and as being a foster parent for a child, a non-binary child. So many times, again, they close off because they're trying to protect themselves and trying to keep themselves from being hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's important as parents or grandparents that you reach out to that child and you keep talking to them. I think about our foster child when they first came to our home. They were a teen. They were very quiet and reserved. And one of the things I did immediately was I started to do walks with them every day, just in the neighborhood, and they would walk. And at first, it was me doing all of the talking, right? And that was okay because I was spending time with them. And then when they started to open up and they started to express some of their fears, a lot of it came around being alone for the rest of their life, not being loved, not being accepted. Having that opportunity to express love and acceptance for that person at that time. And over time, that the way the conversation went shifted, mm-hmm. and they become a part of the discussion. They were initiating things. They were truly a part of my family. And we told them that. We told our kids, because I have two biological children too, and they all happen to have birthdays in January. And I said, we got three kids with three January birthdays. Yeah. And that's just how we live, right? And that's what kids are looking for. They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance.
As you're talking, it occurs to me that sometimes when we have categories that people are placed in, we think that something different has to happen than would happen with a different category mm-hmm. child. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, no different than you're saying, have a conversation with your questioning foster child. I could have that same conversation with my child who identifies as a heterosexual boy. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of some consistency. And yes, there needs to be special care and special information that is brought, because no different than your foster child needed to know that it was accepted for who they showed up as. Our children need to know the same. And if we can do that across the board, I think we could talk about this. Our podcast is only so long. We could talk for 3 hours about this. I do, before we wrap up, though, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some strategies and some tools when we encounter the folks in our community who are not supportive, who hear LGBTQ plus and have really negative or derogatory things to say about the community. And what is the message to the students, to the adults? What are some of the strategies and tools? Because we can talk about this and say, in this community, in this conversation, it's a safe conversation. It doesn't always feel that way. And I do think that that's an important thing for us to address before we sign off from the podcast today.
Well, and you have to find the right fit of, so yes, we need to address that. And then we also need to address what's the support that people can have, because as we were talking, I'm thinking you have to find the right person, because not every clinician or every support group mm-hmm. or every is going to be the most appropriate. So if we just slammed you with like three questions at the end, so I'm sorry, but I also want to make sure that we also address like the support piece. So how do we address the community or some of the folks, and then the support piece?
Yeah, and I think, well, and they're all interrelated. For me personally, when I came out, the tipping point for me was to get introduced to another transgender person, another transgender woman. And it showed me, and this is when I'm 56 years old, folks, it showed me that I wasn't the only person like this. Mm-hmm. And we to this day have a bond, and to this day we support one another. So part of it is getting your core group of people. You have to have your core group of people who are going to love you and support you and be there when things aren't good. Because there are going to be times when things aren't good. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to recognize that there are certain people that no matter what you want to do, you're not going to change how they act, react. And so what you have to do is decide who's in my circle and who's not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's tough. Because it may be people that have been in your circle previously or in your children's circle previously that aren't accepting now. And to put them outside of that can be a very tough thing. But again, for the healing, for their own well-being, that needs to happen. And then you take the folks that are in the middle, the people who don't know. And I think this is where the opportunity lies. The people who want to try to understand, who have just a lack of knowledge. You take the time not to try to go out there and educate them on all the science around this, all the terminology. That's not what really is important. What's really important is to say, I'm just a person. This is one thing about me. And I can explain a little bit of why some of this is. Some of the stuff I can't explain. I mean, it just is what it is. And we have to come to terms with that. And then let them see you and experience you as your authentic self. I will say this personally. I'm a much better person now as the transgender woman I am than I ever was as the lie I was living before, because it was all just angst and self-deprecation and all these other negative feelings about self. And so you have to allow people to learn to love themselves and allow them to do that. It's really important, folks. It's really important that you allow people to love themselves. Allow your children, allow your grandchildren to love themselves for who they are, not try to change them, obviously, because we want them safe. And if we don't have love within ourselves, we're not safe. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. And I think so much of this comes together. So, again, I guess in short, it's find your circle, find your tight circle, mm-hmm. and then realize those who are outside your circle. And we just have to learn not to let those folks really have that influence on us that they can have. It's tough. I mean, I literally have been in stores on the Eastern Shore where I was called it. And I say, they're not in my circle. They don't matter.
And so I imagine, and I appreciate you sharing all of that, because there is such a gift that you're bringing to our community in being able to share some of this information and perspective. But I guess that's where the support groups that you've talked about and yeah. that you've helped form really become an important piece of this journey.
Yeah, it's so important. I have dealt with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people now. Individuals who are questioning, individuals who just want to learn. We call those allies. Mm-hmm. I've had kids come with parents. I've had older folks come. And it's just about being, having a space where people can feel safe and to have a conversation mm-hmm. just amongst themselves. What do you do when this happens? Have you done this? And it could be emotional things. It could be where you are in your physical journey. It could be all kinds of things. And just to have that safe space. And I think the safe space is so important. And I encourage folks, and I'm going to make a little plug for Don Barber Gym
right
now.
I was just going to ask you, could you tell us a little bit about what's available? Because yeah. while we air the podcast nationally, there's some regional folks that we really do want people to be connected.
Yeah. So first thing I'm going to start with is Delmarva Gym. That's our trans and non-binary support group. We meet the third Tuesday of every month at 6:30. We have a Facebook page. We have it private because obviously we try to keep trolls out. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is answer 3 simple questions. We'll let you in. We got all kinds of information we can share on there. And then we actually meet in person as well. That's part of Delmarva Pride Center, which holds monthly activities, mostly in a social setting. We just did the Pride Festival in June. We're actually having a pool party in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And in August, we'll be going bowling. In September, we'll be going hiking. So again, it's an opportunity for people just to get out in a casual space. Then there's all kinds of other resources out there. On a local level, there's also your PFLAG organizations.
PFLAG is for parents.
Parents. If
right?
you're looking for parents, mm-hmm. there are your medical organizations that are out there for if you're actually dealing with a physical health issue that are affirming. 2 local ones that come to mind are Chase Brexton, who has offices across Maryland, but including in Easton, and Planned Parenthood Maryland. That's one that folks don't think of a lot, but they actually have a lot of affirming services. Of course, your local mental health organizations like For All Seasons. Not everybody is accepting, so again, do your homework. But I will say For All Seasons, that's obviously based on podcasts like this. We are open and accepting provider. And then I would also talk about other national organizations and statewide organizations. Free State Justice provides free legal services to folks who need them. That's actually my prior employer, and I'm on their board now. You have Lambda Legal. You have the Trevor Project, which is a crisis hotline for kids. You have the Trans Lifeline, which works the same way, but it's all transgender people. So there's a number of resources. 988 is trying to carve out a space here, which I think is really important for folks to know. And again, if you're in the Salisbury area, you've got Salisbury PFLAG, you've got TransLiance down in that area as well. And then again, Annapolis area, you have PFLAG is a large organization over there that's doing a lot of good work.
So if folks have questions, they can connect with you through Delmarva Pride
yeah.
or through the Facebook page. Thank you. And I just want to be real clear that when we're talking about all of these support groups, we've talked about LGBTQ+, but we have not had the A in there. And you do not have to identify in the LGBT community to participate in any of this, because
right.
our allies become as important as the community that identifies as LGBTQ+ in all of these support groups. So please continue to have these conversations. We hope that you have gained a great deal of knowledge today. I appreciate you so much. Lisa and I are just grateful that we could come and have a really honest conversation about some really important topics. Again, Delmarva Pride, if you have any questions, you can also reach out to For All Seasons, and we look forward to being with you in a couple of weeks.